Welcome to this homecoming worship service. We're nearing the end of a weekend of celebrating the 30th anniversary of our cross-cultural programs. The founders of those programs wanted all students graduating from Eastern Mennonite University to recognize that we are members of a global village, and we need to work together to make that village as peaceful and productive and healthy as possible, always under God's care. Just one note as we proceed through the service as outlined, two of the three scripture readers are special guests of ours this weekend. Lucy Kamel is from Guatemala, whom you've perhaps met previously on the weekend, and she will be reading the scripture in Spanish. And Rami Cassis is from Palestine and will be reading the scripture in Arabic. Would you please join me in prayer? God, we stand in awe at diversity of your creation, diversity of race and culture and ethnicity and geography. And we are profoundly grateful for those who offered a vision for cross-cultural education, who recognized the life-changing influence that engaging the other would have on our graduates. This morning, as we celebrate contributions of three individuals in particular, we acknowledge that they represent thousands of EMU alumni who are serving and leading in a global context. And for each one of them, we give you thanks. And as we worship together, we invite you, Jesus, to stand among us in your risen power. Amen. Today we are recognizing three alumni who embody this global village concept in every aspect of their lives. We've named Christina and Vic Buckwalter as our alumni of the year for their lifelong work as a couple. Both are 1973 graduates. Christina holds a master's degree in the psychology of reading from Temple University, and Vic earned his medical degree also at Temple University. Beginning at the San Carlos Apache Reservation in Arizona, they have spent several decades addressing the needs of underserved people in the United States and in Africa. After 2 years among the Apache people, they went to Tanzania, returning for a stint in Rockingham County, and then back to Kenya for 4 years. Living in the western part of the country, Christina taught reading at the local public school and traveled to train teachers at two Mennonite schools in impoverished areas. Vic taught Kenyan physicians who were pursuing postgraduate degrees in family medicine. He also provided care to patients through a family medicine clinic and devoted particular attention to improving the well-being of diabetic patients. And we are proud to claim their son, Nicholas, as one of our alums, 2004 biology major, graduated from the University of Virginia Medical School in 2011, now practicing in Pennsylvania. Vic also continues to practice medicine. He is on the staff of the Harrisonburg Community Health Center. We have tapped Dr. David Bushart, a 1987 graduate of our seminary, to receive the Distinguished Service Award for providing visionary leadership to the Mennonite Church in the Central Plains region, and especially for his support of the growth of Hispanic Mennonite congregations. David is executive conference minister, for the Central Plains Conference of the Mennonite Church USA. He majored in Bible and religion here at EMU, graduating in 1986. Immediately entered our seminary, earned an MA in religion in 1987, completed a PhD in leadership studies from Andrews University with a concentration in missional ecclesiology. Prior to assuming his current role in the district conference, David served as lead pastor of West Union Mennonite Church, Wellman, Iowa. A previous recipient of this award nominated David for this award with these words: David is a forward-thinking leader who has served within the Anglo-Mennonite Church in numerous levels of service and responsibility. However, what sets him apart is that he has demonstrated the ability to also embrace Hispanic Mennonites and to lead us forward alongside our Anglo-Mennonite brothers and sisters in love, peace, and understanding. And as we've learned is typical of David, his first reaction to this award was to want to hand the credit for the thriving Hispanic Mennonite churches in his region to others, especially to Ramiro Hernandez, the Hispanic Ministries Coordinator for Central Plains Conference. But since he's not an alum, we couldn't give him this award. At the national level, David has served on the Executive Committee of the Mennonite Church USA, chaired the board of what is now the Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary, is much in demand as a speaker and organizer working from his base in Kelowna, Iowa. David is married to a 1985 alumnus of EMU, Shanna Peachy Bushart, who has just been appointed to the EMU Board of Trustees. Shanna serves as Minister of Christian Formation for Central Plains Conference. They have a son, Corbin, who is with our New Zealand cross-cultural group this semester. Thank you all for embodying the teachings of Jesus and the formation provided by EMU in the work you do on behalf of the global village in which we live.
Sobre este monte, el Señor Todopoderoso preparará para todos los pueblos un banquete de manjares especiales, un banquete de vinos añejos, de manjares especiales y de selectos vinos añejos. Sobre este monte rasgará el velo que cubre a todos los pueblos, el manto que envuelve a todas las naciones. Devorará a la muerte para siempre. El Señor Omnipotente enjugará las lágrimas de todo rostro y quitará de toda la tierra el oprobio de su pueblo. El Señor mismo lo ha dicho. En aquel día se dirá, sí, este es nuestro Dios. En Él confiamos. Él nos salvó. Este es el Señor. En Él hemos confiado. Regocijémonos y alegrémonos en su salvación.
ويصنع رب الجنود لجميع الشعوب في هذا الجبل وليمة سماء وليمة خمر ويفنى في هذا الجبل وجه النقاب النقاب الذي على كل الشعوب والغطاء المغطى به على كل الأمم يبلغ الموت إلى الأبد ويمسح السيد الرب الدموع عن كل الوجوه وينزع عار شعبه عن كل الأرض لأن الرب قد تكلم ويقال في ذلك اليوم هو ذا هذا إلهنا انتظرناه فخلصنا هذا هو الرب انتظرناه نبتهج ونفرح بخلاصه.
On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich foods filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And the Lord will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. Death will be swallowed up forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from each face, and the disgrace of the peoples will be taken away from all the earth. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. This is the one for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in the salvation of our God.
Good morning. Crossing borders, removing tears, swallowing death. Our usual intake of medical interns at Weibuye Hospital started in February each year. And as this group of young interns arrived in 2009, it became quite clear who would excel. And Rashida was one of them. At this early stage in her training, having just completed medical school, Rashida was already confident in her clinical skills, confident enough to push back a little bit, confident enough to advocate for her patients and families, and also confident enough to support what she thought was the most likely diagnosis for her patient. On clinical rounds, it became clear that her medical knowledge was excellent, and she had a special gift of practicality, a sense of what could realistically be done in a rural district hospital in Kenya. So, When she requested I see a patient as the medical consultant, outside of the normal ebb and flow of the busy work schedule, it was time to take notice. On this particular day, she grabbed me from the outpatient clinic to see a middle-aged woman whom she had admitted the previous day in female ward. The patient was quite ill, was severely dehydrated from copious diarrhea. When we arrived at her bedside in the crowded general medical ward, she had all the features of severe dehydration. She was emaciated, much older looking than her stated age, with markedly diminished skin turgor. She was semi-comatose. It was clear that this was not the usual case of gastroenteritis. The patient had already received almost 10 liters of fluid over the previous 24 hours, but was still unstable. Rashida had never seen a case of cholera, but she wondered, could this be? That was her question to me. Having experienced an outbreak of cholera during our time in Tanzania when entire wards were set aside for emergency treatment, there was little question in my mind that indeed this patient fit all of the criteria. But we haven't seen any other patients with similar symptoms, she challenged. Laboratory testing confirmed our suspicions. Over the next several weeks, we treated nearly 120 patients, just like the one that Rashida had identified as the initial case of cholera in the ward that day. Her patient eventually recovered, and in fact, we lost only two patients during that outbreak. Thanks to the coordinated efforts of the Red Cross, the WHO, local public health officials, and the accurate early diagnosis of a bright young intern who now knows exactly what a cholera outbreak looks like. It begins with one patient, one clinician, and a high level of suspicion, concern, and compassion. I'm sorry. Crossing borders, enfolding the people. One of the highlights of our week in Kenya was invariably the 3-kilometer walk to St. Joseph's Catholic Church each Sunday morning and the mass that awaited us. We had become acquainted with Father Peter soon after our arrival, and he had reeled us in with his charged homily against tribalism in the aftermath of the violence that had scarred the country with the contested Kenyan elections in early 2008. His voice was clear, his message vibrant, a message of justice and peace. But what really kept us enthralled every Sunday were the Swahili Mass and the dancing schoolgirls. The Swahili Mass began with, "Lord have mercy, utuhurumie," and then erupted into the Gloria, Utukufu, in one of several musical versions that were sung each Sunday by a 40-member choir of mothers with children on their hips, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, and young men and women alike. The Mass was sung to the accompaniment of traditional rhythm instruments and a keyboard that sometimes matched the tune of the choir. The drummer was often a middle school age boy who drew nods of respect from his elders. He was enthusiastic and precise. This was a full voice choir replete with the mature, resonant bass sound of the African voice. What made the unique, precise rhythms even more special was the troupe of dancing girls. This non-assuming group of school-age girls dressed alike in simple attire, heads lowered in respect, wearing no shoes, transmitted the rhythm of the Mass to the far corners of the congregation. Their shuffling bare feet were audible above the choir and above the song of the congregation as they pass by in the aisles. Their nodding heads and body movements amplified the voice, the drums, and the tambourine of the choir. Their dance had elements of traditional dance that are so familiar to the people and would be seen during times of village celebration, celebrations that might include circumcision, marriage, harvest, and death. The dance, the mass, the music, the rhythm, enfolding the people in the joy of being in the presence of our God.
Crossing borders, joy. Upper Elementary Canyon School students, giggling with excitement, run to line up to access the tin box library. Made from recycled sheet metal and then spray painted blue with silver stenciling, this all-purpose tin box is primarily used as a student travel case or home storage box. It is particularly practical in keeping out inquisitive rodents. These tin boxes were filled with MCC-funded books, both in Swahili and English, as a school library. For a reading specialist, this was the best part of my day. The frustration was turning children away at the door because not one more child could squeeze into the room already filled. Reading silently or sub-vocalizing while sitting on the cement floor in a poorly lit, overcrowded room is a sight not seen in North America, or one I will soon forget. The opportunity to choose a picture book of their very own and then hold and read that book is a precious gift. A gift so precious, it is often the choice over jumping rope or the makeshift football game going on outside during recess. East African students show excitement over their newfound book, much the way a North American student might show excitement over their latest iPad or smartphone. Complete joy. Crossing borders, joy. Crossing borders, healing. 12 years ago, this weekend, I lost my mother, my sister, and my brother-in-law in a terrible automobile accident. Driving from Ohio, they were nearing Highland Retreat on their way to our house in Keeseltown and had planned to take in some of EMU's homecoming events when the crash occurred. My two young nephews survived and since that time have been a part of my other sister's family in Ohio. But for me, the redeeming part of this story and one of the single most important events in my life was the day I met the truck driver who was involved in the accident. I listened as he told me his story under the shade of his mother's oak tree, less than a mile from our home. And just before leaving, we who had been total strangers 45 minutes earlier stood and embraced. It wasn't a short, nervous hug. It was deliberate. It was meaningful. It was healing. We had wondered about the identity of each other for nearly 8 years and how the other might be coping. Closure was brought to a tragic and painful event that has shaped both of our families every day. Crossing borders, healing. Crossing borders, coming home. The four of us bumped along in the crowded back seat of yet another matatu, or public minivan, through the southern hills of western Kenya on our way to our daughter's birthplace in Tanzania. The matatu we were riding was emblazoned with the title Disciples, but other matatus had names just as special as ours, names like Awesome God and Prince of Peace. Most drivers have a cross or other symbol of their faith dangling from the mirror as a guardian and indication of just how dangerous this mode of travel is for most Kenyans. As we approached the border crossing, as always, I began feeling anxious and vulnerable, anticipating the worst. Would the immigration officials accuse me of something? Where would we exchange money this time? And if we were delayed at the border, would we make it to Musoma by dark? But all the worrying was for nothing. Seeing Molly's Tanzanian birthplace on her passport, the stern-faced officer did a double take. He called his supervisor to take a look. Stamps clunked, signatures were scrawled hurriedly on each page, and instead of the usual 3 months visitor's pass, we were each given a full year Moultrie entry visa. The officials laughed at us when they returned our passports, noticing our surprised faces. Smiling broadly, they proudly announced, "Accept it as a gift. Your daughter has returned home. Crossing borders, coming home."
Ramiro and Martha Hernandez moved to Central Plains Mennonite Conference to plant a Hispanic church near a cluster of Anglo churches. Ramiro recalls encountering mistrust and skepticism from local leaders when he arrived in this community. He said, "I go to this meeting and I get asked all these questions. After the meeting, I'm left feeling abandoned. There was no support. Everybody knew why I was there, but nobody said, 'What do you need?' or 'How can we help?'" Maybe I made a wrong assumption. I'm a Mennonite. I've been a Mennonite for 30 years. I know they saw me as Hispanic and probably said, "He's a Mennonite?" I felt like a stranger. Over the past 4 years, Romero has worked hard to build relationships within the conference and supporting the development of multiple congregations. During our last annual meeting this summer, participants were asked, "What good things is God doing in our conference?" Romero came to the microphone and recalled feeling alone 4 years ago. And then he said, "Today, I feel different than I did 4 years ago. I feel like I am part of this family. I feel like this is a whole different conference." During the Vietnam War, the Hmong people collaborated with the United States, often being sent into the most brutal conflicts. And when the United States withdrew from that conflict, the Hmong people were left to face fiery revenge from three different countries. In the movie Gran Torino, a Hmong teenager befriends the Clint Eastwood character, and she says it's difficult for Hmong boys to assimilate in American culture. She said, "In America, Hmong girls grow up and go to college. Hmong boys grow up and go to jail." Today, 60,000 Hmong people live in the Twin Cities. 80 of them are Mennonites. Pastor Chu Vang says, "My vision for this church is to confront the violence that has been a historic marker of my culture. We want everyone to become Christian and live a peaceful life and love each other, no fighting, no war, to live in community, to love each other and help each other." In the Hmong Mennonite Church of St. Paul, Hmong girls and Hmong boys grow up and go to college. They become spiritual leaders in their families and peacemakers in their communities. A congregation of Central Plains Mennonite Conference, Ashland Christian Fellowship, is located on the eastern border of the Northern Cheyenne Reservation. 12 years ago, Doug and Lori Bishop were called to pastor that century-old congregation. At the time, the congregation consisted of two elderly women. Last February, Doug and Lori sent us an update on their ministry, in which they said, "We were excited to have 60 to 80 people attend our spring picnic. We also have two babies born to families in our church. One of those families did not own a car, so I offered to drive them to the hospital 70 miles away. Juan Ortiz was born in the back seat of our Subaru, about a mile from the clinic. We feel privileged to serve the Northern Cheyenne people and this community. Nice story, huh? But put that story in the context of a larger narrative, where over 150 years ago, white people tried to eradicate the entire Northern Cheyenne civilization. But now, a white pastor helps to bring a native child into the world in the back of a Subaru. Neither of those two elderly women live to see this new life that is emerging at the base of this mountains in northern Montana.
Please pray with me. God, we give you thanks and praise for what has happened here. We thank you for truly moving in our midst, both here and around the world. We thank you for the years of the cross-cultural program, for the students, faculty, and staff that have served, opening doors, windows, offering new perspective to students who leave EMU to be global citizens. We thank you for your divine grace, your guidance, your patience, and care for us over all these years that we've been celebrating this weekend. We thank you for our honorees and the example they have been of the light and salt that points to your kingdom. We ask that you guide us as we continue to be a university like no other, with our community of students, past and present, who share and live the gospel both here and around the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Through the years, many of our graduating seniors at EMU go into church-related service worldwide. To encourage seniors who make this choice, the Alumni Association awards several scholarships each year to children of alumni who desire to follow this call to Christian service. Begun in 1974, the Young Alum Endowed Scholarship Fund is a way for you to support these students. You are invited to place an offering for this fund in the baskets at the back of the auditorium as you exit. Will you pray with me? Sovereign Lord, you call each of us to live as servants of Christ in our various contexts. We thank you for Christ-like leaders, past, present, and future, whose lives of service inspire our students to follow this call. Remind us that each of us can serve as a role model and mentor as students discern your leading. We praise you for students who are choosing church-related service as their life vocation, and those who serve you as an integral part of whatever they do. We offer our financial resources this morning for the Young Alum Scholarship Fund. Let those who benefit from it bless persons among whom they minister, work, live, and experience community. In the name of Christ we pray, amen.
And now we enter a time of feasting, as in the words of Isaiah, of rich foods filled with marrow, from a bountiful harvest and a joyful celebration of the gifts of God for the people of God. As you exit, we invite you to gather around the tables on the lawn to have conversations with one another as you partake of the food provided. Please don't be shy, there's plenty for everyone. Please take. Before you leave the tables, bless one another as you go, offering benedictions to your sisters and brothers at this feast. When you are ready to leave, we invite you to move on and continue in fellowship away from the table so that others may partake as well. These tables hold grapes, nuts, berries, fruit, and breads, whole wheat breads, pan de dulce, pita, naan, tostadas, etc.
During the time the Soviet Union was breaking apart, the Europe Cross-Cultural Group visited Kiev for a long weekend. It was a time when doing anything posed extreme difficulties. It was hard to find food, It was difficult to find reliable transportation. In a word, everything that needed to be done was made difficult in those days. A family with whom one of our students stayed had this ritual that they engaged in to bring calm to this hectic situation. They insisted, before they left the apartment, that everybody sits down together quietly for a few minutes, no matter how hectic the outside world was that was waiting for them. Many of us lead lives that are much too busy as well. And right now, lives that are much too polluted by the noise of the political season. Many of us were too busy and too distracted to take off a weekend to participate in a busy homecoming weekend. A moment of shared quiet seems like a very good idea. Let the beauty of the single voice of the cello bless you and bring you peace. And when the music ends, take peace with you as you exit. When you exit, the people in the front will process out, and as space becomes available in the aisles, join them. Leave your offerings at the door and share some food outside with his family gathered here this weekend. God's peace and God's friendship will surround you as you go.
Now for words of blessing. What a magnificent supper this is. This is not ordinary eating, oh no. It is for those who have a hearty faith in the love of God and the word of God. Our Lord Jesus is our companion at this feast. Those at the table are our brothers and sisters. Of those around in whom we meet our Lord, we ask for safety, fulfillment, assurance of your grace, and as we part from the table, send us in your peace. Amen. Please pray with me. God, you have indeed provided us with a magnificent supper. We thank you for the bounty of blessings that we have received this weekend in word, in story, in song, in conversation, in reuniting. Bless us at your table, and as we part from it, may we go having been fulfilled with not only your food as sustenance, but with your unending love and fulfillment in your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.